Now we come to a brother, and his name is Diotrephes. And it said of him, verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Now, may I say that we are introduced to another type of individual from Gaius. And the thing that marks him actually is that he loved to have the preeminence. I think that Gaius is one that we can say of him that he is a real man of God, and one that we can call him a real believer. But now Diotrephes, he is the dictator. Now, John wrote the Pentateuch of the New Testament as Moses wrote the Pentateuch of the Old Testament. John wrote the Gospel, Revelation, and three epistles. That makes five. He wrote a Pentateuch. And actually, as we have indicated, many expositors feel that John wrote his epistles last, and I rather concur in that. And if that's true, then this is his swan song. And it was written toward the close of the first century. And there had come many wonderful believers into the church. And to tell the truth, there were literally thousands, in fact, several million that had been brought into the truth. Now we want to know how they got along. How did they live? Were they all paragons of virtue? Were they all outstanding men of God? All wonderful, great men? How did they get along? Were they worthy followers of Christ? In turn, were they worthy examples? Now, of the millions who turned to Christ in the first centuries, how did the average believer turn out? Well, there were some like Gaius, real men of God, men of courage, men who stood for the things of God, men that were outstanding. Now, here comes another man by the name of Diotrephes. He loved to have the preeminence. The thing that is said about him is this, that Diotrephes even opposed the Apostle John. When John wrote to the church to receive certain men, and the next man that we see is an outstanding preacher of the gospel, one of those unknown saints of God. There are many of them like that today, named Demetrius. We're going to see him next time. But here, this man Diotrephes wouldn't receive him. And he's one of these fellows that, well, he wouldn't even open his home. As we have said before, and for the benefit of new listeners, the way that they entertained these traveling evangelists in that day, there were no Hilton hotels. There were no motels like Ramada Inn or Holiday Inn. There were miserable little inns here and there, but not in every place, and they were generally dirty and filled with fleas. And so these private homes were open, and Christians practice hospitality. And you'll find that Peter mentions it in 1 Peter 4:9. He speaks of this thing, and it is something that was practiced. He says in 1 Peter 4:9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. And Paul talked about it in 1 Timothy 5:9, Romans 12:13, Titus 1:8. I remember as a boy in the little town I lived in, there was no hotel or motel, and the preachers that came there were entertained in the homes. Now, Diotrephes opposed this. I don't know whether he was a local preacher or a layman, but he resisted all of these that John had recommended. And the reason is he loved to have the preeminence. His motto was to rule or ruin. His motto was he was going to have his own way, and it didn't make any difference what the result might be. And John had urged them, you ought to receive them. They're fellow helpers of the truth. And may I say to you, I think there's a real compulsion on a child of God today to support those who are giving out the Word of God. If you've got a preacher that's doing that, you should support him. Therefore, here in the early church, they did. But here is this man, Diotrephes. He is a man that is filled with airs, we say today. He puts on airs. He is pretentious. He's vainglorious. He struts around as a peacock. He has an overweening ambition. He's vainglorious. He's puffed up. He's inflated like a balloon. This is the thing that characterized him. He was one that you had to receive him with a flourish of trumpets. He came in a blaze of glory. That was this fellow here. That's Diotrephes. Now, I'm wondering, as I'm saying all of this, I'm wondering if you recognize this fellow here. Because if you want to know the truth, there are many of them in the churches today. You see, the thing that's brought against this man, actually, John will bring five charges against him. He was guilty of five charges. In other words, number one, he must occupy the leading place in the church. He actually refused to receive John. Number three, he made malicious statements against the apostles. And four, he refused to entertain the missionaries, the ones that were traveling through the country. And the reason, obviously, is he is the one who wanted to do the speaking and the teaching. And five, he excommunicated those who did entertain the missionaries. In other words, he wanted to be the first exalted ruler of the church. And here is a man that is self-opinionated, self-exalted, instead of being self-effacing. He's a self-made man. I'm sure that's what he'd claim to be. Instead of having the Holy Spirit make him over, he was self-sufficient. And I think he had self-admiration also. He was self-will. He was satisfied. He had self-confidence. And he felt like that he was the one that could do all of the teaching and do all of the preaching. And he didn't need them to come through. Now, may I say that in many churches today, there are men like that who want to run the church. And if you ask me, and I'm no longer a pastor, I'm out now, and I'm not looking for a church, and I can say exactly today what I think and what I know to be true. And I'm not speaking now of any theory whatsoever. But I happened over the years to have met men. They all of them put up a very pious front, but they tried to run the church. I've had them like that in churches I've served. And thank the Lord, I never had much trouble with those fellas, but sometimes it's a little click, and they'll do anything in order to rule. They'll rule or ruin. And I have watched them wreck church after church today, when that little group or that individual, like Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence. Now, I'm going to say something that may be very harsh. There are many men, I'm sure they may mean well, but they enjoy leading in the church. They enjoy being up before a group of people. And for the most part, the ones I've met are almost Bible ignoramuses. They know very little about the Word of God, but they love to talk. And actually, their talk sometimes caused me to bow my head in shame when I'm sitting on the platform. Some of the things that they say are totally unscriptural, totally beside the point, dead as a doornail, and they wonder why their church is losing members. They wonder why today people are not coming. Well, friends, it's very evident why. There are a great many men who ought to keep quiet in church. Remember Paul said in Thessalonians, study to be quiet. Well, we today are trying to teach young people to talk. We ought to teach a lot of them to keep quiet because we've got a group of older ones today that talk too much. And my friend, we ought not to talk in church unless we've got something to say and have something from God to say. And this idea of wanting to be up front. Well, let me go all the way today. I don't know how many listeners I'm going to lose today talking about Diotrephes, but I've met Diotrephes and Mrs. Diotrephes. There are certain ones that ought not to be singing. There are certain people ought not to sing solos in the church. They don't bring any glory to God. And they pick sometimes songs that absolutely hurt the service rather than help the service. My friend, may I say to you today, because I may be talking to some of you like that, you ought to search your heart before God before you stand up in the church and begin to talk. And especially today, these soloists that like to make a little talk before they sing a song. And I've always discovered that the song they're going to sing, the message they bring before it, is just about as phony as anything possibly can be, because they're going to tell you why they're going to sing that song. Why not just sing the song? If it's got a message, then that's all the message that a soloist needs to give. Oh, may I say to you, I say this because I'm deeply concerned. I watched out here in Hollywood, I watched them make one scene. And friends, when I left, because I got tired of watching it, they'd already done it 15 times. And they were still working at it. And I thought when I left, oh, if God's people today in the church would work as hard to do anything that is going to be done in the service to bring glory to the name of Christ, it deserves the best you've got, my friend. And this idea of loving to have the preeminence. Really, why are you presiding? Why are you leading? Why do you sing? Do you love to have the preeminence? Are you doing this for the glory of God? And this can refer to the ministers too, by the way. All of us need to search our own heart. I told you that John would step on our toes. All of us, friends, all of us need to search our hearts. Why are we doing this? Are we doing it for the glory of God? Now, I'm not prepared to say whether Diotrephes was a believer or not. I do not know. But the thing that is said about him, he loved to have the preeminence. And it caused him to turn down all of these traveling evangelists. And he would put out of the church anyone else who would entertain them or offer them hospitality. And this was a very, of course, tragic thing, as there was going through the country in that day many very wonderful Bible teachers. Now, John says, this man who loved to have the preeminence among you, one of the things that he would do, he would engage in vicious gossip against John and the other apostles and others, because he wanted to be number one. He was a self-seeking, self-important, and a self-elected official of the church. And he was one that, woe unto you if you attempted to oppose him. And I don't know whether he was the pastor or not. I think he's a layman. I sure feel sorry for his pastor, because I'm of the opinion he tried to keep him under his thumb because he wanted to preside. He wanted to be the one to be heard. There are a great many folk like that today. And my whole point is this. Certainly we need somebody to preside. We need somebody to sing a solo. We need somebody to teach the word. We need many. But search your heart before you do that, because you can wreck a church if you are one that is like Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence. You love to be in that position. Ms. McGee and I were ministering in a certain church, and I won't tell you where, but when we left, she said concerning the man who presided, and they did not have a pastor in the church at the time, she said, you know, he certainly did enjoy presiding, didn't he? And I said, yes, he loved it. And I'm just wondering whether they really are seeking for a pastor with that man presiding, because he's not only presiding, he was killing the church. The attendance was way down. And I feel sorry for any man that comes there as pastor, because he'll certainly have trouble with that individual.